Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. All right, so we're here sitting and we're interviewing Tamara Madeline. Thanks a lot for joining Musicians FAQ.
Thanks for having me.
I think you're either the first or second person that we wanted to have on the show. So we're about 43, 44 episodes into our program. We finally have you on. So thanks a lot.
I know we tried to make this happen a few times. We got sidetracks. I remember it was Remembrance Day in 2019.
Oh, wow.
We had a massive snowfall, and Craig and I were going to come out and actually do a couple acoustic songs at the radio, and then, you know, the world got a little cuckoo since then.
Sure. Yeah. And you mentioned Craig, so he's a mutual friend. I met him with his band, My Cousin Otis, but I guess he's been your longtime guitar player as well, I guess, right?
Well, my relationship with Craig Knight, he plays in a band currently called My Cousin Otis, and he's from Kitchener-Waterloo, but I met him in Brantford when I was recording my first two records next studio. And yeah, he actually played on my first album, I believe I've been on a second album, and I had him in with this third record too to come and lay tracks. And just a lifelong friend and musical mentor, you know, which is my relationships in the music world have always continued many years.
And a really nice guy too. I remember... I was playing a house party, and he was there as a guest, and we had this huge downpour, and all of a sudden he just jumped out of his chair and started grabbing mic stands and guitars and getting everything into safety. So
yeah, super cool guy. Yeah. I'm really lucky to know him. Actually, he was the one who introduced me to you folks. Folks at 102.7. Awesome. So I want to give a big shout out to Craig for that. Thank you.
Right. So why don't we go back in time? Where are you from, and how long have you been performing for?
Sure. Well, originally I'm from Italy, Turin, Italy, but I immigrated to Canada when I was very young, like three and a half. So, and we moved to Brantford, Ontario, which is where I got my musical start. So really I've been performing since I was just a kid. And I started picking up the guitar at about 17, 18 and writing my own songs. And then I've just been playing semi-professionally, you know, in my 20s and 30s. And still recording. I'm a recording artist, but I really decided to make it a legitimate profession with this last release.
That's great.
I would say spanning 25 years and really honing in the last four, I'm trying to make my way in the industry anyway.
Wow, good for you. And do you still, did you grow up speaking Italian in your house then? Or?
Yes, I speak literally 50% of my life is spoken in Italian.
Good for you. That's amazing. Just to keep that language going is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun.
Good stuff. You mentioned you had three albums, I believe, and the first one I think is back in 98, is that right?
Yeah, we recorded it in 98. It took about a year, about seven, 8 months, and then we released it in 99. That was my self-titled debut album called Tamara Madeline, and I recorded that at Snug Studios in Brantford with Fraser Yates, the music producer, and also lifelong mentor and friend who's the connection with Craig Knight. And then in 2000, same producer, Fraser, and same studio. We went right back into the studio and we recorded a second album, which was my sophomore, called Feeling Pretty. So I shopped that for about 4 or 5 years. And then I took a break from writing original music and I got into a cover band. And at about 2015, I decided I knew that I had more recording in me, and I still do. But I finally got serious about, you know, getting back into the studio and putting out another body of work. So that's how Mint Green Mercury came to be in 2019. And I started recording that in 2017 at B-Town Sound with Justin Koop.
Okay, that's amazing.
And that's in Burlington, which is where I'm located now.
Yeah, okay. And are you doing most of the songwriting as well yourself?
Yeah, I do all the songwriting, all the lyrical writing and all the songwriting. When I go into the studio, or at least with this last project, I had the songs done.
Yeah.
And then four out of the 13 on Mint Green Mercury, I collaborated with co-writing with Justin Koop, the producer. But I primarily write everything.
That's great. I've been trying to write over this COVID-19 period, and I find it's really tough. I'll get about halfway done, and then I sort of give up or I lose interest. And I admire you for just being able to write a whole body of work and take it all the way to the very end.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a lifetime. I want to just have that. I mean, ultimately, that's always been my goal, is to just create, put out a body of work so that, you know, later in my years, I can say this is my contribution to the arts world, you know.
Sure. I know you've picked a song you wanted to feature from your very first album, and it's called Hardening of My Soul. Do you want to talk about that briefly, what the meaning is, or the inspiration for that song?
Well, it's a ballad. I don't write a lot of ballads. And okay. When you asked me to sort of choose a few songs from the previous records, I went back to listen to, you know, just briefly some of the stuff, because it's been years since I've listened to a lot of that. And it's really resonating lyrically for me with all the emotions that I have currently with the situation of the world. And that song came together. It was a collaborative effort where, again, I came in with, and I always write about myself, the stories that I'm currently, like my, you know, because I really do believe that art follows life and life follows art. So
yeah, for sure.
Usually about my experiences, whatever emotions I'm going through at any given time, or people that I love or I'm involved with or my friends are dealing with. And I was feeling much like that in my 20s, kind of lost and not really knowing and sort of trying to figure myself out. And here I am now in my 40s. And when I heard that song again, I'm like, I can kind of relate.
Because
although I know where I'm going with my goals, I'm now facing a really uncertain world. And I'm having difficulty kind of finding my place as an artist again. So that's what that song kind of made me.
That's great. You were performing often before COVID. So I'm sure that's still in your rotation of songs that you would play, right?
Well, I will be introducing that. I spent the winter really honing in on my piano skills and practicing on that one a lot, because I do, once things sort of open back up again and we're able to play live, I'd like to start introducing piano playing, accompaniment myself in part of my repertoire, because it's just going to make me a better musician all around to pick up a new instrument. And I've been playing that one. I've been practicing all winter, that particular song. So I'd like to start featuring it live as well.
Good for you. Okay.
Superficial faces, artificial places, feels like common ground to people like you and me. Have no need for velocity of living, ordinary giving.
Right, here's a second song off of Tamara's self-titled CD, Tamara Madeline. Her debut album has been described as unleashed and raw, and you can really appreciate Tamara's strong lyrical abilities that touch on both the perplexities of life and personal inner struggles. So this is a great tune. It's called Unconditional.
You were going with your hands tied behind your back. Is it conviction, your self-affliction? Are they the things you lack? Since you're the only one that's gonna look out for yourself, don't look to him for your salvation, he couldn't possibly understand. Did you think you'd change him? Did you think you'd make it go away? Still you haven't changed him, and yet you stay. Into your own hands and demand much more. So soon your apathy will consummate the feelings that are burning inside. Cause you're the one that's got to learn to love herself in order to survive. Did you think you'd change him? Did you think you'd make it go away? Still you haven't changed him, and yet you stay.
Hi, I'm Craig Beck from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Before we move on to Tamara's second album, Feeling Pretty, here's one last track off her self-titled album. This one's called This Miracle.
Clearness of the hessian. tell where I've been, through the furthest reaches of my mind, to the smallest passages of life.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So your second album in 2000, that album was called Feeling Pretty, and you have a song called The Hour?
Yeah. So The Hour is just about when relationships end. It doesn't have to be a romantic one. It could be any type of relationship. Yeah. You know, when you kind of come to that realization that the hour is upon you and it's the end of the road. So, and I just love the production on that one. So when we went in to produce Mint Green Mercury, Justin Koop said the same thing to me when he met me. He's like, play me one of your favorite songs off this record so I get your recording sensibilities. And I chose that one for him to listen to because it had this really great horn, wonderful horn section, and it had a bit of an R&B groove to it.
Okay.
I'm really proud of the production that Fraser did on that song. And so that's sort of what I said to Justin. I mean, like, I want it to be this kind of quality. I want it to be full and rich. I want to hear horns on this album. And I'm still really proud of the recording on The Hour, and that's why I thought we could feature it today as well.
The interesting thing is, your songs are a little bit deep, too. Like, you're not just writing, you know, fun songs about the summer or the weekend or that kind of stuff. You're digging into some issues and different things, which is great.
It's my therapy.
Yeah.
I really wish that I could write a song about the sunshine. That's a goal. But writing songs, happy songs, is more difficult to be honest. Although Wannabe is a real lighthearted song. I mean, that's the new single that just came out. I think it was June the 14th or 15th that we released it just last month. And that song really is about wanting to just do the best that you can every day, be better than you were the day before, you know, look, do things with optimism and spread good energy. And that's really what that song's about. So, that one came pretty quick. I mean, I was just in a real lighthearted mood that day and I was learning piano and I started playing all these flats, which is the reason why I took up piano, because when I play guitar, I tend to play the same chords. I really wanted to expand my my songwriting skill set. So, you know, we introduced these flats and sharps with this one song. And although what I am finding is now that I have to translate it back to the live, I can't hold those bar chords live.
So
start finding ways to cheat to play voice live.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some ways, or even drop it a semitone or something. There might be the smallest little tweak.
All right, let's take a listen to the song The Hour. Comes off the CD called Feeling Pretty, which was released in the year 2000. Enjoy.
Appeal to inside, 'cause baby, it's just not right. This is the answer to all.
Chris Douglas from Cambridge, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, Waterloo.ca. Right on.
Great tune. Nice. Performing for 25 years, can you maybe name some of the more memorable places you've played? I know you mentioned Brantford, and then you're currently in Burlington. You must have a few around those areas.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the highlights, I mean, with an artist's career, it goes up and down, and then there's lots of time in between where you're doing nothing, and then you have these really high moments. But some of the ones that stick out for me would be like when we first started out, when I was playing with the band and we had debuted, the Hillside Festival in Guelph, that was a big one. And we've done some other radio spots and stuff. I was on Canadian Music Week. I was featured as an emerging artist last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was amazing. And I was asked back for Canadian Music Week 2020.
Yeah.
As a returned artist. Yeah. And then, of course, with the COVID cancellations, everything's come to a halt. Also invited to the Junos this year.
Oh, wow.
So we applied for a Juno. B-Town Sound and myself went in, and we actually we dropped three songs off of Mint Green Mercury for consideration, which they came back and said that it's premature at this point because I really want to be considered for an EP. So we're going to try again this year. But the Juno organization came back and said, look, you know, thanks so much for your submission. We like what you're doing. Would you be willing to be a delegate for voting on this year's contenders? So I got to do that, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
We shortlisted all these great Canadian Juno award contenders, and then they allowed me to do the second round. So that was really cool. So then they shortlisted the five that were up for all the categories, let's say single of the year. And then I got to listen to and view all their videos privately ahead of time.
Wow.
And then vote on them. And I think there were 360 of us delegates that were asked to vote on our peers. So for me, that's been a massive highlight.
Yeah. Were you working with the delegates like side by side, or was this just more solitary? Nope.
It was a solitary exercise. The Juno sent me all the information package. They gave me a private login, and then that was it. So it was a time-consuming exercise because, again, I wanted to do it justice.
Yeah.
So I listened to every single song in every category, and then I chose and submitted it. And then I would have actually gone to the Junos this year and just attended as a guest, bought a ticket and flown out there, and then... You know what happened.
Oh, that's too bad. But that's great. Like, you're obviously on a great path, though. It sounds like things are sort of clicking. Like you're heading in the right direction. I think that's fantastic.
Well, you know, I do write down these goals. So I did write down, you know, about 2 years ago. So I see it sort of in my horizon, and I believe that if you kind of chart a path and you keep to it, eventually you'll get there.
Yeah.
So hard to burn down a long time ago. Make me an
venues have played? Like, I know you've talked about Hillside. Do you have any other places you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, eventually I'd like to play the bigger show. This year, I worked really, really hard last year at trying to secure festivals. So I created like a 14-page list of every festival that I ran across. It took me a really long time to collect that data.
Yeah.
And then I just put out a beautiful media sheet, which I had my graphic designer assist with, and just started applying to a ton of different places. Okay. So I had been picked up by a number of different festivals, the Gage Festival. This year I had a full roster in addition to Canadian Music Week and invited to the Junos, and also I think it's a Festival of Friends here in Hamilton, the Sidewalk, the Cactus Festival, and it's called the Sidewalk.
Yeah. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's not coming to me, the name, but I ended up it's called Sidewalk Sounds. So the organizer, which is really great, when everything canceled, he started thinking, his name is John, and he's a wonderful guy, and he contacted me and said, listen, we've got to start thinking outside the box. So would you be willing to do the actual gig virtually, and then we'll just film it and edit it and issue it out on our Facebook page? And I said, sure. I mean, we all have to keep playing, and you have commitments as well. So myself and my guitar player, Steve Murphy, we showed up on June, I think it was the 5th, at the Zoetic Theater in Hamilton. We went in. They had a full crew, filming crew, okay, like a professional filming crew, and we played the entire set as if we would have done it that day on the Sidewalk Sounds Festival, and it's going to be aired on August 15th.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll see that on Facebook or something, so I'll...
We'll post that.
Okay, that's awesome.
Here's a second track off the Feeling Pretty album. It's called Coming Home. This is probably my favorite track on the album. I just love the guitar that kicks in right at the beginning. It's just a beautiful song. So let's have a listen. Is tired, much like mine.
just right now, bars are starting to open up with some form of performing. Do you have anything kind of that you're able to think about doing in the future? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to stick to these. I mean, the radio promoter that I work with, AM to FM, they've got some stuff on the horizon because I was working intensively with them beforehand on some like concert series. So we're going to pick that back up as soon as we're able to get safely into the venues and start filming again. I've got like all of the gigs that I had booked in Hamilton that they're going to do virtually. So that's coming up. And as far as rushing to market with the live stuff, look, at the end of the day, the music industry has taken a massive, massive hit. A lot of the venues are closing.
Oh, yeah.
So that means there are less places to play and the same amount of musicians. So
yeah, it's...
I'm going to wait till the dust settles, figure out what that landscape looks like, and then figure out where I fit. I'm not in a rush right now.
Yeah. I know we're trying to just have porch parties and just have people over, or, you know, just have small gatherings of people at the house, because I miss playing. But the next best thing for me is just to invite, you know, a couple of couples over and have some drinks and play some music. So.
And that's brilliant. And you should continue to do that, because that's what we enjoy as players. For me, as a songwriter and a recording artist, which is what I believe I am first and foremost, more so than a live performer, I do that because I love the studio process. I love recording. I love that. I love the magic of being in a recording studio and creating art. But then that art, once it's out into the world, it doesn't have a shelf life. It's immune to COVID and it's immune to all the other viruses, because it's just music and it's there for whenever you want to enjoy it.
Another great track off the Feeling Pretty album. Here's Wind and Fire.
So on you.
How did your family end up in Brantford coming from Italy? Did you have other family or relatives or?
Yeah, so my folks were the last ones to move in the mid 70s, which was kind of late for the immigration wave, but my mom's brothers had already moved here. They were actually mining up in Sudbury in the 60s, and then they found their way down to Brantford. If you know a little bit about Brantford, it's a very blue collar, working class, awesome place to come from. A lot of great music and good menus come from there, but it's had its share of economic depression. And when we moved in the 80s, Massey Ferguson and all these combine companies were booming. So that's when my dad went for a job, and that's where we ended up.
Great. Okay. I actually have roots in the Sudbury, Coniston area as well. My family ended up there probably decades before that, but in working in the mines as well. So
yeah. Great. So when I went up to Sudbury to do radio last June, and I was invited up, or sorry, not last June, but in the winter, I think it was, when did I do that? I was just up there in the winter. I want to say it was November maybe, but, I was up there and I was like, wow, this is really cool, because I had heard all these stories about my uncles coming to Canada, you know, in the '60s and braving these massive winters and working, you know, in those nickel mines. And then I got to be there myself and I saw the big nickel.
Okay.
It was just, this whole journey of this album has really taken me all through my childhood, all the way through again. And it's funny how it keeps bringing me back around.
All right, for the rest of the program, why don't we listen to three tracks, or they're actually all live tracks, off the next album, which is called Mint Green Mercury. We're going to hear Fade Away. It was live at B-Town Studio. You're going to be learning about that studio in part two. Wannabe, also recorded at B-Town. And a third song called Deafening, and it was live at the Casbar in Hamilton. Until next time, it's Steve Todd. Thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ.
Knows how to dig right down. Knows a canyon. Knows a town. She hangs laundry on the line. Clears the cobwebs. Steers the drive. Damage done, and they
the damage done, then they fade away. hour keeps vigil like a ghost. For nothing in particular it holds carries a whisper to a voice that's deafening, brewing and billowing until it's exploding. Not going back down that track, gonna run down what I couldn't catch. And out there I feel the sting of a world that's changing. Standing on one side, do I fight or fly? And the hour keeps vigil like a ghost. For nothing in particular it holds carries a whisper to a voice that's deafening. Won't you let me down this time? Won't you let go now? Of me now. Should let me fall so gently I won't bruise at all. The hour keeps vigil like a ghost. For nothing in particular it holds carries a whisper to a voice that's deafening. The hour keeps vigil like a ghost. For nothing in particular it holds carries a whisper to a voice that's deafening.
I start to sweat a little, but that just means I'm giving you my full heart.
I'm Tim Hollinger from Pasadena, Newfoundland, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.